cowards and traitors, the choice words President Trump had today for some of his own staff. As the president heads to Capitol Hill and faces what he thought was going to be tough questions from his own party and the First Lady recovering in the hospital. This is the State of America Tonight.
We're going to find the leakers. We're going to find the leakers. They're going to pay a big price for leaking.
There are all kinds of leaks. Some leaks exist to hurt, I guess, colleagues.
There are just things you don't say and shouldn't say.
This is an internal matter. It's being addressed internally.
A lot of senators demanding to know what exactly President Trump means when he's tweeting about these easing of restrictions.
He's directing his administration to focus on saving jobs overseas in China. It's shocking.
Melania. He's in the hospital, doing really well.
This is described as a benign kidney condition.
Melania is already on the mend.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kate Baldwin, live in New York. To our viewers watching around the world, this is State of America Tonight. If you follow Donald Trump during the campaign at all, you knew at least one thing. He was obsessed with polls.
Fantastic polls, highly respected polls.
The polls have been fantastic.
We're leading in so many polls, I can't tell you. I don't know where to begin.
I love polls when I'm winning.
I don't believe the polls anymore. I don't believe them.
It's a rigged system. They put out phony polls.
I don't like being second is terrible to me.
And, of course, that is right. He loved the polls when he was up. He hated the polls when he was down. And now Donald Trump apparently feels exactly the same way about leaks. He's happy to tout them when they help.
This just came out. WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks. Another one came in today. This WikiLeaks is like a treasure trove.
I will tell you this. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
And he's just as happy to trash and discount them when they don't help him.
I think it's very, very unfair what's happened to General Flynn, the way he was treated, and the documents and papers that were illegally, I stress that, illegally leaked. Very, very unfair.
Now, almost a whole week after a leak from the West Wing that an aide crudely joked about Senator John McCain's health as he's battling brain cancer, now comes the president's tweet du jour. It's something like a mixed metaphor wrapped up in a walking contradiction. Here it is for you. The so-called leaks coming out of the White House are a massive over-exaggeration put out by the fake news media in order to make us look as bad as possible. And that being said, leakers are traitors and cowards, and we will find out who they are. In summary, he's going to hunt down the very people behind the leaks, even though what they leaked isn't real. Got it. How are they going to do that? Well, one way the White House is trying and apparently failing is by banning all personal cell phones from the West Wing.
They actually carry out these sweeps where two men will go through the West Wing, going from room to room with these handheld devices, roughly the size of iPads, looking for unauthorized phones that aren't government issued. Staffers have long said they don't believe anyone would be fired for violating the phone ban, but several pointed out how the phone ban didn't prevent that Sadler comment about Senator McCain from being leaked.
And it also doesn't prevent the White House from holding people accountable. One top White House advisor, one top aide, warned changes are coming.
The president is on solid ground here, that if you work at the pleasure of the president, as we all do here, and you have the privilege and the blessing of coming today, every work in this White House on behalf of the nation that we all love, then you ought to be competent, you ought to be loyal, and you ought to be able to reinforce the agenda that prevailed here. And so I can't go on more, but I had several discussions with the president on this very topic today.
Do you expect personnel changes as a result?
I do. Actually, yes, I do.
Well, no matter whose head rolls, a growing number of Republican lawmakers are starting to say, leak or not, the White House should apologize and end this.
The comment was denigrating and insensitive. The best way for this to be put to rest, and it should have happened immediately, would have been for the White House to issue a public apology to the entire McCain family.
And that is one of the topics that was thought to be raised today when the president met behind closed doors with Senate Republicans. Oh, to be a fly on the wall, or maybe it actually doesn't even matter since it's all likely to leak out anyway. Another big issue that could have been, that a lot of Republicans on Capitol Hill are talking about is the president's vow to help grow jobs in China by helping Chinese telecom giant ZTE, the same ZTE that the U.S. government just punished for violating restrictions on doing business with Iran and North Korea and then lying about it. Not surprisingly, some lawmakers have a slight issue with this.
It'd be a mistake. ZTE is a company that has, in addition to posing a significant espionage threat against the United States, is part of an overall industry in China that steals intellectual property. I don't know what the genesis was behind that tweet. It runs counter to everything, every conversation we've had before then.
So we will see how much of the today's conversations leak out from Capitol Hill. And of course, then what Donald Trump decides to call them after the fact. And speaking of leaks, there's more in Washington. There always is. This time about the vice president's future plans. This is the Mike Pence that we all have come to expect.
It's the greatest privilege of my life to serve as vice president to President Trump. He's a man of his word. He's a man of action. And how about all the action this week? What the world saw this week is an American president who embraces his role as leader of the free world.
But a new report by the New York Times says behind all of that effusive praise is also a whole lot of planning and maybe even some plotting for something more. Here's a quote for you from the piece. Republican officials now see Mr. Pence as seeking to exercise expansive control over a political party ostensibly helmed by Mr. Trump, tending to his own allies and interests even when the president's instincts lean in another direction. Here's one of the reporters behind the story.
He's playing what is at this point in a president's term an unprecedented role in shaping not just the sort of broad Republican message for the midterm elections, but the specific places the president engages, how he engages in those places. And he's taken control to a great degree of many of the levers of fundraising and strategy really across the party, even in cases where his own instincts and his own interests conflict somewhat with the president's.
And with midterm elections fast approaching, any conflict between Pence and Trump could mean even bigger trouble for Republicans trying to hold on to power. So get your popcorn ready, folks. And finally, one thing that did not leak out, Melania Trump's health. The White House says the First Lady is recovering in the hospital after a procedure to treat what the White House describes as a benign kidney condition.
Melania is in the hospital doing really well. She's watching us right now. And I want to thank the incredible doctors, Walter Reed Medical Center. They did a fantastic job.
President Trump also announced on Twitter that the First Lady would remain in the hospital for the next few days. And that extended hospital stay for this type of procedure is raising some questions.
Whether this was done out of an abundance of caution, and admittedly, you know, obviously she's the First Lady, so things are maybe a little different with her, or is there something else still that she's going to have done while in the hospital? We just don't know.
And we may not learn much more.
She is private. She did not want the hubbub of extra motorcade and Secret Service and the press pool. They really wanted to sort of pull this off without anyone knowing. The First Lady has 10 staffers. They're incredibly loyal. It is very difficult to pry information out of them. And yesterday was a good example of that.
Also a good example of just how different the East and West wings of the White House really are. To leak or not to leak, that still is the question. So let's get back over to the White House for possibly some answers. Possibly. White House reporter Jeremy Diamond is there for us today. Jeremy, so many questions were going into today's lunch between the president and his party, a rare appearance on Capitol Hill. So what came out of it?
Well, a bunch of Republican senators came out and started sharing with reporters a little bit of what the president was talking about in this environment of leaks. Of course, Capitol Hill is a place where it happens often, but here it happened mostly on the record with senators coming out and saying that the president spoke for much of the hour that he was there meeting with Republican lawmakers on Capitol Hill. He talked a lot about North Korea, his upcoming summit with Kim Jong-un, which is set to take place next month. He also talked about his decision on the Iran deal, withdrawing from that packed. And of course, politics is also on the president's mind, particularly when he's meeting with a group of Republican lawmakers. He discussed the midterms and the West Virginia primary in particular, where the president's endorsement or non-endorsement of one candidate, opposition to one candidate, led to that candidate's defeat. What didn't get discussed there, though, is also interesting because Republican lawmakers have been talking a lot lately about the comments that White House aide Kelly Sadler made about John McCain. They've also been talking a lot about ZTE, the Chinese company that the president said he would he was trying to save essentially from financial ruin because of some U.S. penalties imposed on it. Neither of those came up during this discussion with lawmakers. Apparently only two questions were asked by lawmakers, and neither of those questions pertained to those two topics. So while we're seeing Republican lawmakers saying publicly that this White House aide, Kelly Sadler, for example, needs to publicly apologize, we're seeing them say that the president's tweet about ZTE is the wrong move. They were pretty much mum about it when they actually came face to face with the president today, at least in that meeting on Capitol Hill. Kate?
Further proof that there is an election right around the corner when that's what they want to come out, and that's what they want
that's
the focus
right.
to be on. Great to see you, Jeremy. Thank you so much. Profiles in Courage abound. Coming up, new reports that Vice President Mike Pence is stepping out of his lane and Team Trump is maybe not so thrilled about it. The panel is here. Donald Trump, as president, is the leader of the Republican Party. In name, yes. In practice, maybe not. New reports, Vice President Mike Pence is stepping up his role leading the party. But is he also overstepping the boss? How's that going to go for him? The panel tonight, Susan Del Percio is here, Republican strategist, director of Susan Del Percio Strategies. David Drucker is here, CNN political analyst and senior political correspondent for the Washington Examiner. Karine Jean-Pierre is a senior advisor for MoveOn.org and a former Obama administration official. And Rob Astorino is here, a former Republican nominee. Sorry, I have an itchy nose, so I'm itching my nose. Nominee for governor of New York. Better than me sneezing all over you guys. I'm allergic to you, Rob. That's what this comes down to. Susan.
Like Samantha on Bewitched.
Right, exactly. What's going to happen? That's a good one. Susan, if you're a Republican, if you're a House Republican running right now, with this New York Times reporting that Mike Pence is moving the levers of power when it comes to the midterms and who they endorse, where they go, who they don't endorse, and some people near Donald Trump don't like it and don't like what they're seeing. Who do you want stumping for you, though, if you're a House Republican?
Well, it depends where you're a House Republican. If you're in a swing district, you don't want either one showing up into your neighborhood. But the thing that the Republicans like about Pence, that they can rely on him to have a disciplined message. He doesn't go off. He doesn't go off on teleprompter. He doesn't make these wild comments. They know exactly where he's going to stay. So that helps with keeping their message. Because when Donald Trump goes out, it's not about Donald Trump in 2018. His name is not on the ballot. Yes, it's going to be an influencer, mm-hmm. but they don't, it's a dicey, you don't know what's going to happen if you bring him to your district.
So then that probably answers the question then, Karine. If you're a Democrat running, who do you hope is coming for a Republican?
I think very true what Susan just said, which is in battleground, like those competitive battleground states, yeah, Trump. I'm sure those Republicans do not want Trump there, and Democrats would probably want Trump there because that is those close races. That's where Donald Trump is toxic. When you talk about suburbia and those areas right outside of the urban mm-hmm. urban units, then yeah, you know what? Then you don't want Donald Trump. But I think I feel like Pence is going to find out very quickly that if you fly too close to the Trump orbit, you're going to get burned. And that story is not good for Pence at all. Donald Trump is not going to like his VP going out there pretending like he's the shadow president.
Well, and because there was not one, but there's more. There was another story in Politico, actually, Rob. And it was another report from Politico on how maybe it is something somehow connected, maybe not, how Trump is trying to put Pence in a corner, essentially, or put him in his place, bigfooting him in speaking engagement. And here is a quote from a former Trump White House official. It was always pretty apparent that Pence had a role, and that role was to be subservient to Trump. Pence should be not seen and not heard and kind of put away in a corner and used as needed. Wow.
I don't buy that at all, because Pence has been a very good partner for Trump. He's being a steadying of mm-hmm. the ship. He is a tried and true conservative, whereas some conservatives still, you know, there's the rhinos, there's the never Trumpers, and there's people who are just uneasy with what Donald Trump says or actually stands for at times. And so I think Mike Pence could be very, very helpful because people trust him. There's never a doubt on what he is or who he's been his whole life.
Where he stands on any issue,
yeah.
Because he is consistent in that regard. Donald Trump, not so much. But, David, when you look at history, is there ever a good place, or is it ever easy for a vice president? I feel like it's always tough to be the vice president.
Well, it is. I think part of it is that we have not seen an ambitious vice president in a while that clearly was going to run for president when the opportunity came.
Yeah.
Dick Cheney for 8 years was never going to run for president after George W. Bush. Yeah. With Biden, it was always a maybe, but a not really.
And they were so close.
And Hillary Clinton was the heir apparent. So we did not see this. I think, though, there is a dynamic here that a lot of people are missing that has created this. And I'm not sure that Trump is as upset about this as some people think, mm-hmm. although it is true that he gets very sensitive to appearances, and they want to make sure there's not the appearance that Pence is running the show. And that is this. The White House political operation, which usually centralizes and takes command of all political activities related to the president of the United States in his leadership role of the Republican Party when there's a Republican president, has not functioned very well.
Yeah.
The Republican National Committee, other than raising a lot of money and doing some good ground game work, is not seen as an influential player that can direct the president mm-hmm. and his team and their political activities. Guess who gets things done competently and quickly? Mike Pence's parallel political operation. And Republican advisors and counselors have told me this when I've asked them about this. They have said, look, when I put in a call to the White House, I don't even know that I'm going to get to who I want to get to. Mm. Don't forget, the chief of staff, John Kelly, is not a political animal in this way. When I call Mike Pence and his people, they say, what do you need? When do you need it? I will be there. He delivers. So he is filling a void.
Well, and that gets to another unusual dynamic in this relationship and in kind of the landscape is we don't often see the vice president as the younger of the two and the one with more political experience. That's what's so unusual, I think, also about this whole dynamic.
Right. I mean, if it wasn't for Mike Pence, you really would have almost no one with any government experience in the White House at this point. And that's what he brings to the table. And that's been very important. I think that's what plays on the political nature of his mm-hmm. operation as well. So it is a challenge. Let's also not forget one of the reasons Donald Trump picked him was not for his credentials, but because he liked the way he looked. Casting is very important to Donald Trump. Casting goes above policy and agreeing on certain issues. So it's a difficult road, but in all fairness, I think it's a difficult road for any vice president to walk that walk. I mean, we've seen Biden step in it a few times.
Often.
It happens.
A few times.
Anytime there's a hot microphone.
Donald Trump was not interested.
Oh, those days. Now we just have Donald Trump doing it.
Donald Trump wasn't interested in party building was the other issue. I mean, Donald Trump did not come to the table
with
a political organization. And he honestly doesn't really care about building up the Republican Party.
Hence why people are looking to Pence when you're talking about congressional races.
Yeah. Plus, Pence is not going to turn voters off in the suburbs. He may not be liked by Democrats, but they're not going to vote for any Republican this year anyway. But the moderates and independents, they'll see Pence as normal.
Coming up, guys, President Trump says the leaks out of the White House are fake news. And he says the leakers are traitors. And that's just in one tweet. If you've got whiplash, you are not alone. Grab the neck brace. We'll be right back.
And I think more indicative of what our politics has become so angry and bitter. There are just things you don't say and shouldn't say. And it's unfortunate that if it was said. And if it was said, someone should say they don't agree with it.
Republican Senator Marco Rubio, they're weighing in on the White House controversy that the White House just won't put to rest. One low-level staffer's crude joke about Senator John McCain's battle with brain cancer has become a not-so-low-level problem for her boss. And in the White House's view, it's not the joke that's the problem at all. It's the fact that it leaked is the problem. Let's get back to the panel. Rob, what is it with this White House and leaks?
Okay, this is like the national debt. Remember when that numbers just kept going up. We're on day six of this story.
It's still a problem, right? The national debt?
This is the story that won't go away for a couple of reasons. One, the White House should have just killed the stupid little fire and it would have gone away. But having said that, as you mentioned, this is a low-level staffer who made a joke in private, tasteless joke, by the way, and it never should have gotten out. So there are two big problems we're dealing with here. One, the story that won't go away because they refuse to kill it. And the second one is, where are all these big mouths coming from? Because they really need to get out of the White House.
But it comes from the White House. I mean, right. All but Washington is leaky like a sieve.
But this shows their inexperience.
It's more than that. I think it's bad.
It's their lack of professionalism. These are people who don't know how to operate. Rob, you were a great executive in Westchester. You would not tolerate it. Your staff
in New York.
Sorry.
Our friends in Virginia.
Exactly. But the other thing is you would never have a staffer who wouldn't have resigned by this point because they don't understand how this works.
The bigger problem is that it starts from the top. In any organization, this type of culture starts with the top, and it's Donald Trump. He doesn't apologize for anything. He didn't apologize for his statements about Charlottesville. He didn't apologize for what he said about that Gold Star family. He didn't apologize to John McCain. And that's the culture that he's built in his own White House.
Alternate theory. What if this is staffers leaking to speak to their boss in the way that they think their boss likes to communicate.
That kind of worked when they talked about the leaks coming out of the security offices.
When that's one
thing. That was a kind of serious thing, and they were trying to make sure, whether it was CIA, whatever, not to, this was national security. This is inexperience and backbiting and undisciplined. I mean, this also really, forget the president, he's too high up on this. Chief of staff should have stopped this immediately.
And Kate, you'll remember this from covering Capitol Hill. We know this as people who cover members of Congress and other elected officials. Their staffs and their offices always reflect their boss. There's a saying that we have in D.C., and it's basically like good member, good staff.
That's so true.
Bad member, bad staff. And so there's some focus on why the president never apologizes for anything. There's some focus on why this low-level staffer, so-called, hasn't resigned. At the end of the day, this is about the leaking and the comments are about a culture that is tolerated and in some ways nurtured in the White House. And if the president would like to stop the leaks and he would like to stop the embarrassment, he could set the tone and it would stop. You didn't see this sort of thing happen under the last couple of presidents. You didn't see it really happen to much of a degree under Bill Clinton, who went through all sorts of scandal. And that's because there was this sense of camaraderie and loyalty and belief in a mission. And Donald Trump does not engender any of that.
This is a totally side note, but an overarching kind of question in this. What is it with Donald Trump and his inability or disinterest in apologizing? What is it? You see tweet after tweet that other people need to apologize, like the cast of Hamilton needs to apologize to Meg Pence, I don't know why that one always sticks out in my head. What is it about the president that he doesn't like the idea of apologizing so much?
It's weakness,
and it's part of who he is. Remember, Donald Trump, a.k.a. John Miller, who used to talk to the New York,
John Miller, John Barron. He had two. I was corrected about that.
That's just the way he is. It's always been. I grew up in New York City, and that is the Donald Trump that I've known all of my life, is this guy.
But within the tweet, shocker, there's a contradiction, Rob, in his tweet of, all leakers are traitors and cowards, and also none of it's true. It's someone reminded me today of, you go to a restaurant, the food at this restaurant is horrible, and their portions are too small. Come on.
Well, but what I'm hearing here is that no one ever, ever, ever made an off-color joke in the Obama White House or the Clinton White House. Everyone does all the time in every office. They did it, I'm sure, in my office.
I think that they just know how to clean it up.
Why are they so willing to put it out there? Because they don't
know. That's the problem.
Because they're backstabbing each other.
You can start stabbing me in the back. Day 481 of President Trump's administration, and it's also 175 days until the midterm elections. Friends, that's the State of America tonight. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.